The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Comcast, Verizon, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studios here at Hallis Hall, and welcome to the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. Jeff Joniak with you until 7:30 tonight. Congratulations on the nice win in Cincinnati.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Jeff.
Feels good. I know the fellas were thrilled about it, listening to them after the game. We're going to get into some of the comments they made, including Mitchell Trubisky, I think really says a lot about what's going on with this organization and his view on it and where things are headed. But just the relief, I think, of saying goodbye to a five-game losing streak. Because in this league, when you lose three, everybody panics. So five's a whole different story.
Yeah, it was. It's a tribute to those guys in that locker room, the coaching staff. It's understandable when you lose five straight. The frustration, whether it's in the locker room or in the stadium or even in the building. So that's a big monkey to get off your back. And it was nice seeing those smiles in that locker room after the game. And it was a hard fought game. And I thought probably our best team performance this year.
Put the foot on the throat a little bit in the second half. That was the key to me. That third quarter, you dominated.
Yeah, I think it had been an area we had struggled in all season long, and it was finally good to see. I mean, it was a tight game in half. I believe it was 12-7 at halftime, and then we were able to come out and finally put together a drive to start that third quarter.
Did you feel it coming over the course of the week? Sometimes you think things are going to turn out one way and they turn out another way, but this week in particular, I mean, was there something unique about it?
Yeah, I think I did feel it coming. I think you saw the determination, both in practice, in the preparation, and that's where I think I saw the biggest difference. And it was great to be able to see guys go out. It was very helpful that some positive things happened. I think that gives you confidence. And once that occurred, you could see that confidence build.
Mitchell Trubisky in particular looked like he owned the place.
Yeah, he dropped some dimes. I think it starts up front, though. You got to protect, and he had good protection. And when there were blitzes and stunts and dogs, he was right on, right read, and right on the money.
Maybe it was that Ohio air.
Maybe that's it. But all I know is he had a great week of preparation, and he backed it up with a heck of a performance.
And now his third down ratings, which you referred to here the last few weeks, is up to 97.3. He's completing almost 65% of his passes on third down. And the number that really sticks out to me, especially with a rookie quarterback with very little experience in the bigger picture of football, zero interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't turn the ball over.
But I'm saying in general, third down this year.
Yes. He's, and that's really, is a stat in an area I look at, always have had, have done on with quarterbacks because, like I mentioned before, everybody in the stadium knows you're passing. And, for a guy to be able to operate like that, as a young player is pretty impressive.
He said after the game in our post-game interview, Zach Zabin was asking him questions, and he kept redirecting the conversation to a culture win. It was a culture win. It was the work week. It was the young guys contributing. It was a culture win. Do you see what he's saying there, Mitchell Trubisky? Because he's going to be here a long time. He wants this to be his team.
Yeah, I think it's huge, and it's it takes a while to instill. And I think our young players have been a big part of that. The kind of guys, not just the talent of the football player, but the kind of person. I think it's important to them. I think it's important to this team. And, hopefully we saw a glimpse of it Sunday and can see it moving forward.
You always talk about the guys who practice. This is the guys you really embrace. Are these young guys, have they learned how to practice already?
Yeah,
especially the playmakers.
The culture that people refer to, is you want your best talents or your best players to be your best practicers. And when you develop that, whether you call it leadership or however you instill it, is that's the standard. That's the bar. And is raising that bar is how you start, you know, stacking those wins is when you stack those practices. And, you know, hopefully that's something we can, you know, get done here the last three games.
Pro Football Focus pointed out that Jordan Howard, well, he runs like a bull that sees red in the AFC North this year. 82 carries, 454 yards, 17 forced missed tackles, and 8 runs of 15 yards or more, and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, he ran the ball really hard and really angry yesterday. And when Jordan does that, and in games he has done that, our football team does well. And, you know, it's not just him. You know, that's a mindset, no doubt, not taking anything from him. But, you know, you got to block people, and you win the game up front and in the trenches. And, you know, I think it starts there. And like I said, when we've done that, we've had success. When we've not been able to do that, it's been a little tougher sledding. But, you know, with the, you know, continued improvement of Jordan as well as Mitchell, you know, that takes a little bit of heat. Those two things, both when you get more balance, both run and pass, I think it's better for your offense.
4-1 record this season when you give him, or give the running game, no, you give him 20 or more carries.
Yeah, I think, you know.
It sounds good.
Yeah, well, it does, but it's what came first, the chicken or the egg.
I know.
You know what I mean? You have to be having some success. And, you know, I think, you know, we were probably, you know, called a little bit more in the passing game. I think Mitch is getting way more comfortable, and obviously that helps open up the running game. They both work hand in hand.
You may have been asked this. I have not listened to any of your news conferences since yesterday, but other than talking to you right after the game. But here's what I keep getting text messages from Bears fans and friends of mine. Why now? Why this game? Why did it all come together? And I don't quite know how to answer that other than, you know, these things do take time, especially with a rookie quarterback running the show. But the balance, the types of plays, 23 plays, I think it was 10 yards or more yesterday.
You know, I think, you know, it's not like we invented some new plays. It's not like, you know, we just executed the plays better. We're a young football team. And, you know, I wish it would have happened sooner, too.
Yeah, but, you know.
I mean, it's not like we're not trying.
Even if you would have popped the tape on, say this is the outside in, you're looking at it, it did look more aggressive yesterday. Even Mitchell said, yes, we were more aggressive. Was that knowledge is power, and now you know what you're doing a little bit more every day? Or what is it?
Well, in the passing game, you know, with kind of the overall we've had at receiver, the newness and youth of our tight ends, you know, the newness of a Tariq Cohen trying to put him in, you know, advantageous positions, all that takes time. You know, this and not time to just put in, it takes time to execute. And there's a precision. If you look at the closeness, you know, some of those passes Mitch threw, all right, the small windows of what you had. The reality is, and again, we look at the tape, is, you know, we executed the best we have all season on offense. I mean, if you look back and you take 33 points and you add them to all our scores, our record could be different. Problem is you can't change that.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here on the defensive side of the ball as well. Kyle Fuller had himself a game yesterday. We're here with John Fox, and we will be giving you lots of information about where this defense put together one of their better defensive efforts against a real good quarterback in Andy Dalton. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations. Donations benefit the Salvation Army and are accepted until January.
Gun back to his right, Bellamy wing left. Two receivers to the right. Snap, Trubisky, and it's a handoff. Howard busting through 5. End zone, touchdown. We're kidding for 21, and the Bears have broken out in front of the Bengals here on a 21-yard Jordan Howard touchdown run.
One of the better runs in yesterday's 33-7 win over the Cincinnati Bengals, and the deciding factor was the offensive line is the player of the game. That's rare when we give it to an entire unit, but the player of the game brought to you by Xfinity, the Xfinity player of the game. The Bears offensive line, deservedly so, after you watched it again on tape on the plane on the way back.
No question. And, you know, I think they did a great job all week. And, you know, Cincinnati, you know, does some multiple things. And, you know, our guys didn't miss a beat. It happened fast and happened exact. You know, there was no delay in any of their decisions. And that helped us both in the run and the pass.
And Tom Compton in at right guard. This is not some guy that hasn't had a lot of experience. He's a veteran. And he was on a Super Bowl team last year. He didn't start, but he participated, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tom's a pro. And he's, you know, he's watched and learned, and when we've called on him, he's done a good job. And by far, he was a big cog in that performance by our O-line yesterday.
And 12, I think, carries for, I think I said, 107 yards between the tackles yesterday by Jordan Howard. So those runs up the gut seem to be punishing for that defense.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the line calls were real solid and consistent. You know, the problem with offense is everybody has to be on the same page. One guy's out of sync, and it doesn't look as pretty. But, you know, it started up front, and Jordan did a great job, ran angry, ran low and hard all day long.
All right, let's talk defense. Kyle Fuller, three pass defenses, now tied for fourth in the league in that. Three catches for 14 yards on 9 targets in his zip code yesterday. What do you think of that performance by Kyle Fuller, and almost a near interception?
Yeah, I think Kyle's had a great season for us. He had a very disappointing season a year ago. He fought back from that. And, you know, you could tell he was going to, you know, good things were going to happen for him even back in camp. You know, I think he's worked very hard. You know, his coaches have done a good job with him, you know, Ed Donatell, and he's responded. And, you know, he got locked up on a pretty good guy in A.J. Green a lot yesterday and did a fine job.
Over the course of his time here, obviously he's had a roller coaster ride a little bit. Have opinions changed about Kyle Fuller?
Oh, no doubt. You know, I think you know, he was in a contract year, and he's answered the bell in a big way. And you know, we're very happy for him. You know, we need to finish this off for the next 3 weeks.
The defense has given up 40 big plays this season of 20 or more yards. That's tied for fifth fewest in the league. The more impressive fact is that you guys are number one in the league in fewest big play touchdowns, so only 4 this season. To me, that speaks to, obviously, the whole unit. Pass rush has got to be there, too, but they're playing the deepest of the deep. Nobody's getting beat back there, and it wasn't too long ago before you got here that that was happening a lot. There's been a big change at the safety position. And Eddie Jackson, it's never been too big for him, has it? I mean, this is an instinctive guy. You know, you get tip passes, you got to – it's not just by accident.
No, it's great anticipation. And Eddie, you know, yesterday was his birthday, by the way. And
happy,
you
know, birthday, got, Big Eddie.
He got, you know, 2 takeaways on his birthday, an interception, and that strip fumble recovery that
that was right in front of
he
you.
Did on our bench, yes. And he's a big reason I challenged it. You know, it was his being emphatic about it. And, you know, that was a big turnaround for us because they were, you know, pressing into getting the scoring zone, and the official obviously missed it. I can say that. Can't be critical, but he missed it, right? And, you know, Eddie saw it, and he saw it the best, and so we challenged it, got the ball back, and it was a big moment. And but he's been great all season. I mean, we had a game here at Soldier Field where, you know, he was the leading scorer in the game on defense.
Hey, it's been one of those years.
Well, no doubt. Right. You know, that's what's exciting to see our, you know, our offense be able to answer the bell yesterday and, you know, get nearly 500 yards offense, 33 points, and, you know, that helps the football team.
Back to Eddie on that play. You, if I'm not mistaken, you were pretty emphatic about whipping that red flag in the direction of the official. You got a pretty strong fastball on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, once it goes back to New York, you never know what will happen.
But, right.
luckily, it went our way.
But now that also speaks to some other fact, because I know in the Bengals papers they're hitting them pretty hard on not giving their all yesterday. That's an opinion more than whatever fact may be or not. But like giving up on that play, a veteran receiver, you know, thought he was going to get an easy out of bounds, you know, and boom, he caught the bat. But no, because your guys are working through the whistle.
Yeah, I think, you know, that happens a lot in football. I mean, at some point, you know, somebody takes control of the game, and it's not new, not just to yesterday, or it's been that way all season. And, you know, the one thing I've been impressed with our guys is we've stuck it in there. We've kept swinging the sword, and in every game. I mean, I go back to even the Philadelphia game. You know, I know they put up 31, but if you watched last night, all right, they can be pretty explosive.
Oh, yeah. And horrible news, obviously, for Carson Wentz. Does it give you pause? Because Mitchell Trubisky ran a read option, you know, to the right. You know, same thing Wentz. He gets clobbered. I mean, this is what, if you got a mobile quarterback that can do that, there is some risk involved.
I mean, it's a physical game. It's a combative game, and it's part of it. Everybody that walks out there understands that. And, you know, you never want to see players get hurt on either team. And these guys all understand it.
Leave the cold weather behind and travel back to the beach in February 2018 with your favorite Bears players, including Anthony Adams, Akeem Hicks, Adrian Amos, and more. To book this all-inclusive trip to the Riu Republica in Punta Cana, visit applevacations.com/bears. One more segment with Coach Fox after a check.
Touchdown run already today. Takes the snap. Play fake to Howard. Gonna throw. Right corner of the end zone. Shane! Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Beat the linebacker in the corner of the end zone. The Ohio natives having a big day here in Cincinnati.
Big Adam Shaheen, also an Ohio boy, getting a touchdown throw from Mitchell Trubisky. One Ohio kid to another. And that touchdown pass in the right corner of the end zone on a nice afternoon for this young tight end. Everything's new. Everything is new at a very high level right now, and really played well yesterday.
Yeah, he did, and you see it in practice. You see it in his development. You know, whether it's, you know, how he sticks routes when he gets onto a safety. You know, the blocking calls, how he's executing those. I mean, he's a big, tough, great kid, and it's great to see him having success.
It was even that the Wildcat pulling out in front. He's directing traffic, literally, with his finger. But he's 6'7", and the other guy's 5'7". It looks somewhat entertaining watching Tariq Cohen hide behind Adam Shaheen on the run to the right.
Two great kids that, they're just getting better every day, and it's really, really fun to watch their development.
Shaheen caught four of the five passes his way for 44 yards, 32 snaps overall for him. Tariq Cohen, 15-yard touchdown, 67-yard punt return, 25-yard catch, all erased by penalties in the last three games.
Yeah,
he could have had, we were talking on the plane last night, four or five touchdowns this year additional that were wiped out by penalty.
Yeah, I think then once he figures out that sideline a little bit better, too,
yes.
that could help. Because he had one of those against Pittsburgh, and he had one again yesterday. But just a terrific young man, and he's an explosive player that's, I think he's scored on a return. He's scored passing receptions. He's scored running touchdowns. He's even thrown a touchdown pass.
Yes.
So, he's a special cat. And the other guy I'd like to mention, too, is Kendall Wright, who is a big-time target.
There.
Yeah, I was just making sure.
Yeah, no. I like it. You're taking control.
Yes. Again, another guy that's new to us and has worked really hard. He's been really good on third down, and to have 10 catches yesterday for 107 yards, that was big.
Yeah, the only receiver this season that has had 100 yards. The uniqueness of that is that Dontrell Inman has been getting most of the targets the last 4 weeks. I think targeted 24 times. Yesterday he played 67 snaps, not one targeted throw. And it's, whether it's by design or scheme or whatever you're trying to match up for, it's no slight against him, but somehow that's how the game goes, and other players emerged yesterday.
Yeah, I think, the concepts and really the defense has a lot to determine that. If, the coverage is heavier there, you got to go somewhere else. And so, I thought Mitch did a good job of sorting out. I think he still threw it to about eight different receivers.
Right. And that speaks to seeing the field, too.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's, like I said, I'm not just making this up. I mean, this kid's getting better every week. And, he doesn't make the same mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes in the game, but he doesn't make the same one. And it's impressive to watch.
Did you ever, at any point during that five-game losing streak, ever see him hang his head?
No. And that's what you love about the guy, and that's what you could see very early on is being that same guy, the temperament it takes, whether you're going through adversity or prosperity or, all the things that happen to young people, not just young football players. He's had the same mindset. He's stayed very steady, and I think that's why he's respected so much by his teammates.
Rematch on Saturday, short week for you, so you're going to get right back to work here when we get done. The Detroit Lions, a 7-6 football team, fighting for their playoff life in the very complicated NFC right now. It was a close game in week 11, 3-point Detroit win. you probably pull some things out of that. But Mitchell Trubisky did have a solid game against him there. But now you're going into their place, into their den on a Saturday. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, we did have one matchup. It doesn't seem they've changed a whole lot.
It's not long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that far back. And, you know, that was a disappointing game because it was a one-possession game again that we missed a field goal late to tie it up to see what would happen in overtime. So anyways, it's a game, it's a division game I think our guys feel confident about. I'm sure they do too, and it'll be a good test in Detroit.
Stafford, a quarterback of his stature right now, yesterday he completed 80-something percent of his passes, officially 82% of his passes yesterday, with no run game. And so how difficult is that for a quarterback to do it one-dimensionally and still get out of there with a win?
Yeah, I think, you know, this league is about winning those close games, and they've won their share, and he's a big part of that.
All right, defense, yeah, we'll deal with Glover Quinn, obviously, Darius Slay. They got Dwight Freeney in there as well. The Detroit Lions hosting the Bears on Saturday. John, good luck with your preparation this week. We'll talk to you later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. And we want to tell you about two guys and a Pro Bowler, Spice Adams and Alex Brown. Wish they were the Pro Bowler, but that would be Lance Briggs. They all get together weekly for the most hilarious Bears podcast out there, and they do bring some football knowledge, too. You can get it on iTunes and the official Bears app. Two guys and a Pro Bowler brought to you by Xfinity. Another check.
From his 36-yard line, he's got three receivers left, two to the right. Bears rush three, drop bait quickly on the slant. Green's pass. He's intercepted. Eddie Jackson at the 45-yard line, and down he goes. Bears have the football on the tip. Eddie Jackson, the swipe. Their sixth interception, second for Eddie Jackson. Bears take over at 3:15 here in the third.
Yeah, big play by Eddie Jackson on his birthday, no less. Two takeaways in the 33-7 win over the Cincinnati Bengals from PNC Studio here at Halisaw with Bears assistant secondary coach Roy Anderson. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Now, that was fun. That was fun yesterday, right? Oh, Smiles across the board.
Exactly. It was a lot of fun. It was good to get the victory. And like you said, it was good for Eddie to get those two turnovers, especially on his birthday. So he had a great week of preparation along with the rest of the guys, and it turned out well for us.
Yeah, Eddie is, and I mentioned this with Coach Fox earlier in the program, it's never been too big for him from the moment he got here. And from your perspective, being in that room, would you agree?
I agree. He's one of the guys. He came from Alabama, so he played in big-time ball games in college. And also being from South Florida, where football is really big down there, he's used to the big-time games. So like you said, it's not too big for him.
And those type of things don't go understated because you can't understate them enough because there are a lot of great programs. Mm-hmm. But in the SEC, he's seeing pro talent every single practice, let alone every single game.
Exactly.
So it's not a reach. I mean, those guys, those defensive backs coached by Nick Saban, they come ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They come ready to go, well-prepared, and they understand the game, and they know how to prepare for Sunday, so it makes our job a lot easier.
What's it like coaching a rookie like that?
It's actually really good because Eddie's one of those guys that wants to learn. And he's a team guy, so he asks a lot of good questions in the meeting room, and he wants to be a great player. So anytime a guy wants to be great, it's really easy teaching him, and he's a football guy. He's just one of those guys that loves football. That's a gym rat.
And in a tip pass like that, too, one person might say, well, you got a little luck involved there, right, ricochet ball. But I think at that position, you got to know the scheme that you're playing against and where everything fits, and you're going to put yourself in the right position. Do you teach them that too? Because you're going to be, there's going to be susceptibility to tip balls in certain areas of the field.
Absolutely, and you have to be in position to make those plays. And we always preach to our guys tips and overthrows. I always tell the guys you can at least get four or five interceptions in this league on tips and overthrows alone. But you have to play with good depth, and like you say, you have to be in position to make the play. So that's what we try to preach to them all the time.
Love the play with A.J. Green on the sideline. It's not uncommon, I guess, for a receiver to think he's just going to head out of bounds and call it a day after a nice catch.
Exactly.
That was not the case. Eddie Jackson playing through and to the whistle and ripped that ball out of there. That was a terrific play. Terrific play. What'd you think of that?
Oh, I loved it. And that's what we preached all years, trying to get more turnovers. And we always say, hey, end the play on the turnover. And like you say, Eddie didn't stop playing, and he ended up ripping the ball out. And he's just one of those guys that finds a way to be around the ball. So that was a big-time play for us.
Another player who has been around the ball all season long, playing such a physical, aggressive style. And maybe, most people may agree that Kyle Fuller may have had his best game as a pro yesterday. The cherry on top would have been that interception. Yeah. Almost got there, but tough assignment with A.J. And I think the thing was 9 targeted throws in the direction of Kyle Fuller, 3 catches allowed for 14 yards.
Yeah, and that's big. Anytime you play against a guy of A.J. Green's caliber and you can hold him to that amount of yards, that's an excellent day because he's probably one of the best players in this league, not just receivers. But Kyle did a great job of stepping up, as he's been doing all year. And he's just been preparing like a pro, and it shows on Sunday.
And let's not slight Prince Amukamara. Also, 8 times he was thrown at, 5 catches, just 39 yards. That speaks to a team that's tackling well after the reception, too, limiting yards after the catch.
Exactly, and especially against a team like Cincinnati where they have good, really good receivers in A.J. Green, Brandon LaFell. Like, those guys can really make plays after they catch the ball and get downfield fast. So we preached all week, hey, we got to be good tacklers, and we can't have any missed tackles because they're really good wideouts.
Assistant DB coach Roy Anderson with us. And welcome back to Halas Hall, the PNC studio, as the Bears recap a 33-7 win over the Cincinnati Bengals and get ready on a short week for a visit Saturday to Detroit and a rematch with the Lions, 3-point winners over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday. We're with assistant secondary coach Roy Anderson. We're just talking about Carson Wentz yesterday and read option for passers right now and how difficult it has become, really, for players to defend that pass out of the read option when they stay in the pocket, just show it and don't necessarily give it, but throw it. And that rhythm and the continuity puts your guys on your heels a little bit. How do you guys teach the defending of that play when it's a quick thing, can't get the rush there in time and all that?
Really, you just have to be on your assignments. Everybody has to do their job because I think that's where offenses get you a lot of time with the read option, and we call them the run-pass option. It's to where somebody's trying to do somebody else's job. So then you don't have anybody on the quarterback. So we always say assignment football. We got to have a guy in the proper gap and on your guy.
That can happen even in the run game, right?
Oh, yes.
You can't resist sometimes.
Exactly.
I know it's awful. And you played the game. You were a quarterback in college, obviously, so you took advantage of those things.
Right, exactly.
Right? But it is a temptation, that's for sure. Overall, though, as you look at what that secondary has done, obviously in concert with everybody else, the big plays have been muted. Big four, you know, the 20-plus yard plays. You guys have a tie for the top in the league for the fewest number, just 4 on touchdowns this year. That speaks to guys playing assignment football and playing deepest of the deep and not getting beat behind you.
Exactly. And those guys, they do a great job of preparing each week. And we always tell them, hey, if we don't give up the deep ball, we have a shot to win. Because I think that's where offenses get defenses a lot of times in this league, giving up those 30, 40-yard plays. And they could be backbreakers for a defense because it can take the air out of you. But as long as you don't give it a big play, you give yourself a chance to win.
Chris Pruszynski. Love Chris Pruszynski. Comes in basically on the sidelines all season long. Got him ready to play a full schedule last week. I think he's made 75 plays plus 9 on special teams. Mm-hmm. And a very active player again yesterday. What was the process of getting that guy ready? Obviously knew the scheme and so forth, but... Mm-hmm. It's still a process. Things weren't probably exactly the same as when he left.
Yeah, and we just had to put in the time with him. He came in early, left late, so we put in extra work with him. And Chris is a really smart kid, so his learning curve was really small. So he did a great job preparing, and it worked out for him. And he stepped in, and it's actually like he never left. He just filled in, and it's like the next man up.
Nice to have that kind of luxury, right,
no doubt.
A veteran player like that. The learning curve is a lot smaller. In your role here with the Bears, and this is your first year, have you worked with more the safeties or the corners or the whole secondary?
More with the safeties, but there are days where Coach Ed Donatel, we'll switch with each other. I'll take the corners and the nickels, and he'll take the safeties. But for the most part, it's been more safety work.
I was always big on this because Coach Fox was a secondary coach early on in his career. Donatel, obviously, a very prominent secondary coach in this league. Both guys, obviously, have been defensive coordinators. Vic Fangio has had his share of work with the secondaries in his career, some really good players. And then yourself playing, or coaching, rather, in Baltimore as a defensive assistant with the types of names that they've had in that secondary and a really gritty defense. These Bears players are getting some really good coaching from a lot of experts at that position, don't you think?
Yeah, they are, and they're taking coaching very well. That's one thing that's great about this group. They want to learn. So anytime the guys want to learn, it's easier for us to do our job. But yeah, they want to be out there. They want to get better, and they want to be great players, so they can take the coaching.
Vic got real creative. A couple games this year with packages of players. So yesterday, for example, here comes Sherrick McManus in a package. Bryce Callahan healthy again. He was out there and back and rolling once again. What does that is that was that scheme specific for the Bengals, or is this just some things you're just trying to change it up a little bit so the teams don't know exactly what you're doing? You know, it's that three-game stretch where everybody thinks they got you figured out, and then you throw them a curveball a little bit.
Yeah, we saw some things that we wanted to attack Cincinnati with, and we felt Sherrick was the best man for the job, and Sherrick prepares well also. And I think it fit his skill set, some of the things that we had him come in there to do. So each week could be different. It could be a different guy, but we just want to be able to kind of scheme some things up against different teams.
Base defenses really don't get a lot anymore, do they?
Exactly.
I mean, now it's not just nickel. It's dime.
It's dime.
And
exactly.
As creative as you can get as a quarterback, as a former quarterback, or you're looking at it through the quarterback's eyes, does that make them step back a little bit when you've got a three-man rush and you're dropping eight and trying to find a window?
Oh, absolutely. And they have to prepare for that. So now, like you said, it's just not base defense anymore. It could be nickel, it could be dime, it could be an eight-man drop, or it could be an all-out blitz. So that definitely gives them something extra to prepare for.
And our final moments here on the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studios at Hallis Hall with Roy Anderson, a Tallahassee, Florida native who spent a lot of time in Baltimore. Howard University, tell me what that experience is like as a quarterback there.
Oh, it was great. Actually, I got a chance to get coached by some great guys, Steve Wilson, who actually played 10 years in the NFL as a receiver and a defensive back, and my quarterback coach, Pep Hamilton. He was actually an offensive coordinator at the Colts for a few years, and now he's up at University of Michigan. So it was great learning from those guys, and then Howard was a good school and met a lot of great people up there, so it was a lot of fun.
Heck, Pep was here. We all know Pep. So he was here on the staffs prior to John Fox. Really impressive career he's had.
Yeah, he has. He's a really smart coach and moved his way up. But he's a really bright, bright young coach that's going to do some great things up in Michigan.
It's interesting on this staff that the number of assistants that played quarterback and now are coaching different positions. You even, if I'm not mistaken, coached defensive line at some point in your football coaching career, and you've been doing it for quite a while, just like Coach Rogers on the defensive line here was a quarterback. I think mm-hmm. if you polled your players, they wouldn't know that you guys were quarterbacks.
Right, exactly.
But there's value in that?
Yeah, I think so, especially working with the defensive backs, so I can really tell them what the quarterback's looking at, how to get to them, how to cover the receivers. So I think you see it from a different angle. Having been on the other side of the ball, so I think it definitely helps.
You've been with a lot of different players in the course of your career. You've been with the 49ers, you've been with the Colts, the Ravens. So you've got a little bit of everything in terms of defensive backs and just prominent people. You mentioned Ray Lewis when you were in Baltimore. You learn a lot from just watching those guys go to work every day?
Yeah, you do, and you learn that those guys are true pros. A lot of people just think they're just great on Sundays. Which I tell our players, two of the hardest workers that I've ever been around was Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, because they prepare so hard throughout the week to where Sundays they just let it go. But I think those great players, they're actually great learners, they're great communicators, and they do a great job coaching other guys on the team as well.
I've often said you got to have a prominent safety. I don't care if it's a box or post safety. If you want to be a playoff team, you know, long term, you can get there without one, but to really compete for a title, you got to have one. And
exactly.
If you had one like Ed Reed, wow. I mean, I've heard stories galore about his impact as a leader on that team. Ray got a lot of attention for that, obviously, and was good at that, but and nobody like Ed Reed.
Yeah, he was the best. And like I always tell people, you have to be a quarterback on the field. And we say, hey, you got to be the quarterback of the defense. That's what we want our safeties to do, because really they're the field generals. They got to get people lined up. They got to make the checks. They got to get the calls in to everybody. So when you have a guy who can do that, who can run the show on the back end as a safety, like you say, you really got something special.
Adrian Amos, it's too bad he got injured because he was having a terrific year, best year of his career. Did you see his game expanding with every rep and with every snap in games?
Yes, I did. Because Adrian, he's a smart kid, and then he was able to do some things in the box and on the back end in coverage. We saw the interception pick that he had in Baltimore, and then I like to call him the turnover machine. He finds a way to get the ball out. He did it against Baltimore. He did it against the Saints. So I think he's growing in that role, being able to create turnovers, but also the plays that he's making on the back end on the ball. I think that's really helping him.
Coach Roy Anderson, time to go to work.
All right.
All right, Detroit Lions coming up on a short week on Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Earlier tonight, Coach John Fox recapping the 33-7 win over the Bengals.
Yeah, it was. It's a tribute to those guys in that locker room, the coaching staff. It's understandable when you lose five straight. The frustration, whether it's in the locker room or in the stadium or even in the building, so that's a big monkey to get off your back. And it was nice seeing those smiles in that locker room after the game. And it was a hard fought game, and I thought probably our best team performance this year.
Put the foot on the throat a little bit in the second half. That was the key to me. That third quarter, you dominated.
Yeah, I think it had been an area we had struggled in, all season long, and it was finally good to see. I mean, it was a tight game at half. I believe it was 12-7 at halftime, and then we were able to come out and finally put together a drive to start that third quarter.
Did you feel it coming over the course of the week? Sometimes you think things are going to turn out one way and they turn out another way, but this week in particular, I mean, was there something unique about it?
Yeah, I think I did feel it coming. I think you saw the determination, both in practice, in the preparation, and that's where I think I saw the biggest difference. And it was great to be able to see guys go out. It was very helpful that some positive things happened. I think that gives you confidence. And once that occurred, you could see that confidence build.
Mitchell Trubisky in particular looked like he owned the place.
Yeah, he dropped some dimes. I think it starts up front, though. You got to protect, and he had good protection. And when there were blitzes and stunts and dogs, he was right on, right read, and right on the money.
Maybe it was that Ohio air.
Maybe that's it. But all I know is he had a great week of preparation, and he backed it up with a heck of a performance.
And now his third down ratings, which you referred to here the last few weeks, is up to 97.3. He's completing almost 65% of his passes on third down. And the number that really sticks out to me, especially with a rookie quarterback with very little experience in the bigger picture of football, zero interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't turn the ball over.
But I'm saying in general, third down this year.
Yes. He's, and that's really, is a stat and an area I look at, always have done on with quarterbacks because, like I mentioned before, everybody in the stadium knows you're passing. And, for a guy to be able to operate like that, as a young player is pretty impressive.
He said after the game in our post-game interview, Zach Zabin was asking him questions, and he kept redirecting the conversation to a culture win. It was a culture win. It was the work week. It was the young guys contributing. It was a culture win. Do you see what he's saying there, Mitchell Trubisky? Because hopefully he's going to be here a long time. He wants this to be his team.
Yeah, I think it's huge, and it's it takes a while to instill. And I think our young players have been a big part of that. The kind of guys, not just the talent of the football player, but the kind of person. I think it's important to them. I think it's important to this team. And, hopefully we saw a glimpse of it Sunday and can see it moving forward.
You always talk about the guys who practice. This is the guys you really embrace. Are these young guys, have they learned how to practice already?
Yeah,
especially the playmakers.
The culture that people refer to, is you want your best talents or your best players to be your best practicers, and when you develop that, whether you call it leadership or however you instill it, is that's the standard, that's the bar, and is raising that bar is how you start. Stacking those wins is when you stack those practices. And, hopefully that's something we can, get done here the last three games.
That's Bears head coach John Fox, and that's going to do it tonight from PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall. For Coach Fox and defensive assistant Roy Anderson, our producer Dan Barilli, and Andy Gersher, studio producer Keith Johnson. I'm Jeff Joniak. We'll bring you Bears Lions from Ford Field in Detroit Saturday, starting time of 12:30 on our pregame show, kickoff at 3:30. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.